Hello, this is Deborah Cohen, and I am in my podcast, A Story and a Song. So, if you are interested in today's topic, which is learning more about songs and how they have the power in Judaism, then stay tuned and find a pen. Something to write with. I know I'm like, I just discovered I have a flat tire, so I'm not really focused on my podcast. Sorry about that. So let's just take a break, get someplace quiet to listen, and I'll be right back, 100% of me, after this message. Hello, this is Deborah Cohen, Deborah Cohen Music. And I'm so glad that you took the time to listen to my podcast, A Story and a Song. It's about my life to share some wisdom and some mistakes, hopefully that we can learn from together and laugh at maybe, starting in the 80s in a new wave rock band in Boston with two singles that are still available on Spotify, Boston Nights and Dreamin'. And then on my worldly journey that we're all on, I morphed into a spiritually dominant being where I am a truth seeker and write songs of praise while having one foot in the world writing sync music. So listen up and share. Okay, so I'm back. This is Deborah Cohen, and I'm all about music. I could blame it on the Beatles. You know, today's generation seems to want to blame things on instead of thanking. So, well, I'll thank the Beatles. That started it all as a teenager in the 60s. So I'm seeking the world of music for healing, for higher purpose. And in my quest for knowledge, I discovered two different kinds of words for song in Hebrew. So without further ado, let's dig in. All right. The American historian Cyrus Gordon in 1908 to 2001 wrote, quote, "Our contemporaries have split the atom, reached the moon, and brought color TV to the common man." Yes, I was one of those people that used to have only a black and white TV with rabbit ears covered with tin foil to get a better signal, believe it or not. Okay. The ancients were not less talented than today's population, but they often expressed their intelligence in different ways. They manipulated languages so deftly that it often takes modern scholars a long time to grasp the presence, let alone all the subtleties of ancient riddles. End quote. One poignant example of such ancient nuances in language is the existence of two Hebrew terms for the word song. Shir in Hebrew, or feminine aspect would be shirah, and zemer, or Zimra. In this discussion, we will explore the differences between this pair of synonyms, and in doing so, we will become more attuned to the intricacies of the Hebrew language. I hope this interests you as it does to me. Now, the simplest way of differentiating between Shira and Zimra is that Shira denotes verbal song. So if you sing, shir, you're using your voice, while zimra refers to instrumental music. Now, that just begs the question, because I've been learning as a shlichat zibor to lead pisukei de zimra, and now comes the revelation that Shabbat morning pisukei de zimra, if you honor the Hebrew language, then you would lead Pisukei de Zimra in instrumental music. But in a conservative synagogue, we don't do that. We don't use any instruments on Shabbat morning. So why don't we, if we're using an excerpt in our Siddur that says Pisuke de Zimra, which I'm learning is instrumental music. You know, sometimes my questions get me into trouble with other people, but logically speaking, I mean, if you're a follower of Spock, it's a valid question. This understanding is proffered by a bevy of authorities, including the Ezra in Psalm 105, verse 2, Radak in 1 Chronicles 16:9, Sforno, Psalm 105, verse 2, and Vina Gaon, cited in his sons Be'er Avraham to Psalm 27:6, Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, Psalm 33:2, Rabbi Shlomo Aharon Wertheimer, period. In fact, the Yiddish word klezmer, which roughly means Jewish music, is actually a portmanteau of klei, which means instruments, and zemer, which means music. The Malbim explains that zimra, which the plural is zimrot, is somehow a higher, more intense form of song than shira. He writes that this is why whenever the two terms appear in tandem, shira is always first and zemer is always second. So again, it begs the question, if we do Shabbat morning Siddur service, and maybe we are in the Pisuke de Zimra service, maybe we are singing Shira, it follows Zemer, which is music, instruments, which are or should be, in my understanding of what I'm sharing with you, Shabbat morning should include at least voices, singing voices, but more than that, Zimra, because if you read your Siddur, the Sim Shalem or Lev Shalem, it's all about in the Psalms praising God with your singing voice and instruments. So in the Shabbat morning service, we're praying these words that we sing to God and use instruments, Psalm 150, which we say in the Hallel, but we actually don't do it. Now, does that make any sense to you? Because it certainly doesn't to me. Why are you praying these words from your Siddur, but you're not doing them? That's my big question of today's broadcast. I hope I don't get in trouble with my shul. Okay, so in what is possibly a separate explanation, the Malbim writes that Shira, or voice singing, is a more general term which can refer to song both in a religious sense and in a secular sense. While Zimra, aka Pisuke de Zimra, refers specifically to a religious song which speaks of God's praises. Similarly, Rabbi Yehuda Leib Edel, who was here from 1760 to 1828, writes that Shira is a simply expressive or an expression of one's happiness without necessarily tying it back to the source of the happiness, i.e. God, while Zimra is always a means of acknowledging God's role in bringing happiness and thanks to Him. Wow. Okay. I think that certain synagogues need a refresher course on the purpose of Pisuke de Zimra. Similarly, Rabbi Yaakov Zvi Mechelberg in 1785 to 1865 explains that shir, or song singing, refers to the lyrics of poetic verses, sung without the tune, while zimra refers to the tune or melody sung in a song or played by an instrument. So, according to Rabbi Yaakov Zvi Mickelberg, we would sing without a tune. How do you do that? Would that be a nigun? Nigun? Sing without a tune? But for Pisukei DeZimra, to honor the title of that section of the Shabbat service, we would be singing a melody in a song or playing an instrument. So let's chop them down. The root Zion Mem Resh, from which Zemer and Zimra are derived, appears in the verb form as Zomer, which means cutting down. It is actually the name of one of the 39 forbidden labors on Shabbat. Aha! So, maybe that's why we don't have instruments on Shabbat morning? Let's dig in. What does this mean having to do with singing? Judaism's concept of God is comprised of two almost paradoxically opposed descriptions. On the one hand, he is transcendent and thus totally beyond our reach and comprehension. But on the other hand, he is immanent and thus ever-present for us to connect to. Rabbi Yitzhak Huttner, 1906 to 1980, explains that the difference between Shira and Zimra reflects the tensions between these two ways of approaching God. Both terms are expressions of praise, but Shira denotes praising God from a position of rapture and attachment to Him, while Zimra denotes praising God as an expression of God's transcendence and how far away He is from man. Okay, let's chew on that for a minute while I have a sip of Java. I hope that you all know that are listening that it's possible when you use your voice to sing to God on Shabbat that you can reach a feeling of, what do they just describe it as? Rapture. Rapture. Some people ask me in the synagogue on Shabbat, why do you sing so, like, expressively or and loud? And I would never really had an answer to that because, you know, it always caught me off guard. The previous synagogue I went to, I got that several times. And even by one of the rabbis, and I was taken back thinking, are we not supposed to sing loud to God? I mean, if nobody else in the synagogue is, like, singing above their breath, like in a whisper, am I supposed to whisper too? No, not for me. The power of God comes when I exert myself 100%, and I guess, you know, they are too, the whisperers, but, you know, I think that power can be loud, and my voice doesn't start out that way, but as I become raptured in God's presence, the volume of my voice increases. Oh, and I daven, daven, daven. Oh, it is a rapturing event. In explaining the latter assertion, Rabbi Huttner notes that Zimra not only means song, but it also is a verb for cutting, C-U-T-T-I-N-G. When a person recognizes God's awesome transcendence and how He is so unapproachable, a person is essentially cutting off his own experience or existence due to the recognition that his own existence pales in comparison to God's infinite greatness. Rabbi Yaakov Huttner relates that he heard from a certain Hasidic rabbi in the name of Chassam Sofer that the word Shira is related to the word Shiraim, which means leftovers. Oh. Because song is the leftovers of the soul, meaning that it remains one of the only ways the soul can express itself in a world dominated by materialism. Interestingly, in many of the songs or poems recorded in the Bible, the speaker refers to himself in third person. For example, Genesis 49:2, if you're writing this down, Numbers 24:3 and Judges 5:12, instead of in the expected first person. Rabbi Emmanuel Francis, who was around 1618 to 1703, explains that this is because true song is like an out-of-body experience. Oh, I could so vouch for that, Francis. Oh, thank you for saying so. Such that the one singing sees himself as a separate entity. And now notice he says himself, but I'm saying herself. Me. I feel sometimes if I'm not hindered by people that want to bring me down to the level of what I came in off the street with their blah, blah, blah. But the freedom to be able to feel that out-of-body experience when you are raptured by God's presence is possible every time you sing to God. But you have to know and want. You have to know. And you don't make excuses that somebody else can do it and I can't. Wrong. Unless you can't audibly sing, there's no reason on this earth or planet or sphere that you cannot also get raptured by singing to God. Now, by contrast, Rabbi Francis explains that the word zemer highlights other aspects of songs and poetry. When Yaakov sent his sons to Egypt to buy food during a famine, he sent with them the zimra of the land of Canaan. Whoa. And you can find that in Genesis 43:11, which is taken to mean the best. Rashi connects the word zimrat with zemer by explaining that it refers to the choicest produce over which people would sing. Alternately, Rabbi Francis explains that the act of pruning a vineyard from unnecessary shoots is called zomer in Leviticus 25:3, and this relates to the art of creating music. The artist must expunge any unnecessary elements from their song in order for it to be wholly good. And as an indie artist myself, that intrigues me. Rabbeinu Ephraim ben Shimshon, in Genesis 43:11, explains that the Zimrat Haaretz that Yaakov's sons brought to Egypt consisted of fine wine, which is called Zimrat because drinking wine makes one happy, according to Psalm 104:15. And when people are happy, they sing Zemer. Interestingly, Rabbi Nachman of Bratslav, 1772 to 1810, writes that Zimra of the Holy Land refers to a special niggun, which is a melody, of Eretz, that's my funny R there, Eretz Yisrael, which Yaakov sent the Egyptian leader. Rabbi Elimelech of Lizhensk in Noam Elimelech to Genesis 47:28, or Exodus 19:1, explains that Zimra refers to cutting away those outer distractions which impede a person's ability to properly serve God. And yes, outer distractions again. Heaven forbid if you go to a service and bring a cell phone and start doing your social media during a service. I mean, you are out to lunch at least. Okay. Both he and Chassam Sofer similarly explain that Pisukei de Zimra, which literally means verses of hymns recited daily in the beginning of morning prayers, not only on Shabbat morning, are meant to cut down the klipot. I agree with this 110%. Klipot are the husks of the outer peels, the physical self that sometimes drags ourselves into a synagogue or even a church service. Once you get singing, the klipot fall away. It's like peeling the layers of an onion. They're meant to cut down the klipot in preparation for our complete rapture with God. And if you don't know that your singing voice is a tool, a way to get to Hashem, to God in song, then I hope that you can find a song circle, and I'm hoping to create one at my local synagogue in Clearwater, Florida. So if you're listening in that area, when it comes about, you are welcome to come join this song circle. You don't have to be a member of this synagogue. You can come anyway with your intent to learn how to use your voice to get to the point of rapture in a community, which means you have to get over yourself. You have to get over your self-consciousness. And I know this is no easy task because I had to do it. It took me decades to peel off the clipote. So come one, come all, if you want to have a rapturous experience with Hashem. And I'll leave you there right now, but if you want to read on, you can go to ohr.edu to find out more about the Circle of the Song, which is mentioned in the Maharal of Prague. And I might continue right there in the next week's version of A Story and a Song. I thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And even at the beginning of the service, I was kind of like distracted because of my flat tire. Well, now I'm like totally into it. So see how we are? We have to like stir ourselves up. Somewhere it is written, stir yourselves up in your most holy faith. Amen. Can I get an amen? Okay. All right. So let me close with, let's see, what can I share with you today? I want to thank you for listening. I broadcast every Sunday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time on YouTube. You can find my new YouTube channel, which I hope you will subscribe. The handle is at Jewish Rock Music. Thank you, Zakaria. You came in just at the closing. Or you can find me on Instagram. My handle is Deborah, D-E-B-R-A, Cohen Music, D-O-T-C-O-M. So thank you for listening, and I hope to see you again next week.
Butterflies make me smile. God sends butterflies to me to let me know He's watching. He loves us. He gave us His beautiful nature. So smile.
Streets of gold.